Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
I feel
like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken care of.
It took forever. And the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
WOGL HD3, Philadelphia, from the Cherry Hill Volvo Studios, where relationships matter. Always live on the free Odyssey app. The revolution will be broadcast. This is the next generation of talk. Now, this is the drive at 5. 30 minutes of nonstop talk with Rich Cioli.
Not that he had any credibility, but Michael Cohen's credibility was hammered today in court. That lying scumbag turncoat lawyer, once and for all, on the stand, exposed for what he is, which is a rat. Welcome back to the show. Glad you're here today. 855-839-1210 on Twitter at Rich Zioli. You went on TikTok and called me a crying little S. That was actually part of the conversation today in court. Michael Cohen is a gigantic man-baby liar. And speaking of giant man-babies, the Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau plans to raise taxes on everybody, very much inspired by dictators that come before him. All right, I'll talk about all that with you this hour. We're streaming live on YouTube right now. President Trump just spoke a matter of moments ago outside the courtroom. And listen, here's the deal. You have these Republicans come out today and stand with Trump, and this is an important thing that they're doing right now. What they're demonstrating is the party is united behind him. Selena Zito wrote an excellent piece. She often does. And the question that she asked was Trump making a 4D chess move with his speech in New Jersey? I mentioned to you today at the start of the show, I got a text message today from a buddy of mine, Ken Kirsten. Ken is actually the reason why I got into the Trump campaign back in 2015. He and Jared Kushner were still our best friends. So Ken was the reason why I got involved way back then in 2015 with Trump. But sent me an article. Trump has said if he's elected president, day one, the windmills are over. He's going to sign an executive order killing the windmills. No more wind turbines. No more dead whales. No more dead dolphins. Good. Excellent. That's exactly what we need. Good. So he's in Jersey. So Trump's in Jersey on Saturday. You were there, perhaps. I mean, Mulligan Shore Bar, again, thanks to Johnny and Pam for their amazing hospitality. Best mozzarella sticks I've had ever. I'm telling you, they were outstanding. And I'm a mozzarella stick aficionado, and they were outstanding. So thank you again to Mulligan Shore Bar for hosting us. But she points this out. She said, it was July of 2017. Just 6 months before or after President Donald Trump was inaugurated, he got a hero's welcome in Youngstown, Ohio. Perhaps some of the Zioli Army members in Ohio, Susie and MJ, were there. People swayed to the music. The hours leading up to the rally were a striking contrast to the daily nonstop social media posts, press reports, and accusations from Democrats that the newly sworn-in president had dark ties to the Kremlin. Remember all that? Russia collusion, the hoax of Russia collusion. You remember all that, right? The national press coverage of his third trip here struggled to understand why he was coming to a city he didn't even come close to winning in 2016 and a county that he also lost. Still, local Democrats like former Congressman Tim Ryan definitely understood. He told me in an interview several weeks later exactly why Trump came to Youngstown and the Valley, saying it was because they look like a lot of hometowns across the country who'd been forgotten. He said the imagery of him showing up in a place few politicians do projected to voters across the country that live in places like that area that he shows up and hears their concerns. In 2016, Hillary Clinton won that county in Ohio with 49% of the vote, defeating Trump by a hair. For perspective, just 4 years earlier, then-President Barack Obama crushed Mitt Romney there by 28 points. And he won white working-class voters. Barack Obama won 63% of the vote of white working-class voters. Those same working-class white voters, on whom Democrats used to rely to carry the state twice for the first black president, would soon be called racist, uneducated, and angry just 4 years later for supporting Donald Trump. Think about that for a moment. Barack Obama won white working class voters in the Rust Belt in places like Ohio twice, right? Those same people then became the biggest racist, white rural rage, blah, 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 supporting a guy who basically is the next Hitler. On and on it goes. Fast forward to last weekend, Selena Zeno writes, when Trump, plagued by nonstop reports of his trial for allegedly covering up hush money payments, held a rally in Wildwood. 100,000 people in a state that no Republican presidential candidate has won since then Vice President George H.W. Bush in 1988. During the rally, Trump said he was expanding the electoral map because we are going to officially play in the state of New Jersey, adding we're going to win New Jersey. Maybe, maybe not. 4 years ago, Trump lost the state by 16 percentage points. However, and this is big, and here is what people are missing about the rally in Wildwood that is significant. What he talked about and who he was talking to. Now, we know where Wildwood is, so I don't have to get into the details of where it is, and that's our place. It's where we go. Now, I spent a lot of summers as a kid in the Wildwoods, as I'm sure you did as well. The headlines coming out of the rally were interesting in that it didn't seem as though the national press was getting the point. Here's some of the headlines, for example. Trump attacks Biden and brings up criminal charges at raucous New Jersey rally. Trump leads MAGA supporters in vulgar chants at New Jersey rally. Springsteen fans roast Trump for bizarre boast about the size of a New Jersey crowd. These are just a few of the headlines. They completely missed the economic message he delivered that appealed not just to voters he already has, but ones that have seemed long out of reach for a Republican candidate. Now, the Hudson Institute's Paul Skrasik, who's a political science professor at Youngstown State University, said the backdrop of Wildwood, home of the working class vacation spot, with roller coasters and rides filling in the background, could be anywhere USA, and that is exactly why it worked then in Youngstown, Ohio in 2016, and has the potential to work now. It's about location and nostalgia. Now think about that for a moment. Let me break from the article. Wildwood, the Wild Woods, as we know them in this part of the country. Wildwood, New Jersey is where you go. My dad was a cop, right? So Wildwood you go is an affordable vacation spot to go to. We didn't go to Stone Harbor. We didn't go to Avalon. I'm not knocking those places. They're great places, but we went to Wildwood. A lot of working class people did and still do, even though everything's getting more and more expensive. There's a nostalgia about Wildwood when you go there, and I'm sure you've been, but in case you have never been to Wildwood, you feel like you step back in time. There's even a Wawa in Wildwood now that I think is new. I don't remember ever seeing it before, but it looks like something out of the 1950s. It's got the lettering and the designs in the Wildwood look very much like the motels and the hotels of Wildwood, because it really is a throwback. It's a step back in time to a different era in America. And you contrast that with other places up and down the Jersey Shore where you know, they're more ritzy. They're more exclusive and everything like that. It's like part of the reason why I love the Grand Hotel is because the Grand Hotel is very inclusive, family friendly. I mean, the, you know, big pool and the kids, and like my kids love going there, and we're bringing them in June. Wildwood is a great family spot. That Saturday night we're at the Grand, because we're going to spend the whole weekend there, we'll go up to the boardwalk. We'll take the kids to the boardwalk. I grew up going to that boardwalk. I grew up going on the rides there, and I loved it. And it's as it's gotten more expensive, though, obviously, like everything else has, it's still a much more affordable Jersey Shore vacation, Wildwood is, than places certainly in, say, northern New Jersey, in the northern Jersey Shore. Choosing places like Wildwood or Youngstown, Erie, Pennsylvania, give people a representation of cities and towns that either time, technology, or trade deals have left behind, where the beaches and entertainment scream of chrome diners, mini golf courses, and Americana rather than trendy high-end bars. I'll give you an example. Mulligan's. Mulligan's doesn't get more, I don't know, down to earth than anywhere else. I mean, it's about as down to earth as you can get, Mulligan Shore Bar, right? The minute you walk in, you feel welcome. Like, I belong here. There's no sense of, oh my gosh, do I show me the drink list and I got to order a $17 espresso martini or anything. It's a very down to earth bar. After that, we went over to a brew pub in town where the Cape May Republicans had the after party. And I went over there. It's my buddy Mike Donahue, who's the county chairman. He invited me, was gracious enough to bring me, and took some friends over there. Down to earth. Again, everybody's nice and hanging out, and, you know, it's just, it's down to earth. That's the thing. And like Youngstown, which drew supporters from Michigan, Pennsylvania, and West Virginia, Wildwood draws supporters from the all-important state of Pennsylvania. Trump choosing places such as Youngstown or Wildwood is not just about those particular towns. He said these choices symbolize communities that are the heart of the blue-collar working class community. So he's not just speaking to voters here. He is projecting to voters in the similar places with similar experiences across the country, reinforcing what he observed firsthand at that rally in Youngstown. It was a little different than the experience rock star Billy Joel evoked with his 1982 ballad for the working class, Allentown, which talked about the plight of blue-collar workers, right? They're closing all the factories down. And what does he mention there? He mentions, you know, you spend your weekend at the Jersey Shore, right? Classic song, Allentown, one of the best. Ohio's former Congressman Tim Ryan said back in 2017, after recognizing his party was in trouble, with the very people who had put him in office, people saw themselves through the lens of the lyrics in the songs the same way they see themselves through the rallies. Let me break for that for a second and bring up Bruce Springsteen. Now, as you know, for years, I have made fun of Bruce Springsteen for being a phony. He's about as phony as you get. Bruce Springsteen is about as working class today as Howard Stern is funny. Both woke Howard Stern and woke Bruce Springsteen represent the opposite of everything they ever talked about. Like, Bruce Springsteen started, and there's literally, I mean, where he started by the Stone Pony, for example, Asbury Park, that area of the shore, that whole area, Eatontown, that whole part of the Jersey Shore there, that was as down-to-earth middle class as you could get. And he represented that. Springsteen used to tap into that. That was the heart of it. I mean, Born in the USA is a song about people who are losing their jobs. That was his thing. Stern used to tap into that, too, back in the day. I mean, the people that listened to Howard Stern's show, and my dad was a cop, as you know. I mean, we would listen to Howard Stern together in the car. And sometimes he had to turn it off. But, you know, it was about projecting. It was about working class people. And Bruce Springsteen sang to those people at one point. Howard Stern entertained those people at one point. Then Bruce Springsteen got rich. Howard Stern got rich. They started hanging out with people. And they exposed who they really are. Just a bunch of phonies. A bunch of phonies who really don't care about you and don't care about me. They care about hanging out with the it crowd. They care about hanging out with the people that, yeah, you know what? Drink very expensive bottles of Chablis on the Main Line or the Hamptons or places like Asbury Park, New Jersey, which now is much different than the Asbury Park that Bruce Springsteen once opined about in the album Greetings from Asbury Park. If you remember that album where it's Bruce Springsteen's Greetings from Asbury Park, it's a different Asbury Park than it is today. Today, it's all very trendy. It's been rebuilt. Try to find a down-to-earth bar there. Good luck. Good luck. That's where you get the $18, $20 espresso martinis. You're not drinking the, you know, the cheap beer with the working class people at Mulligan's. I used to mock Bruce Springsteen. We would mock him on the show all the time as being a fake farmer because that guy took advantage of a loophole in New Jersey's property tax law that enabled farmers to get a property tax deduction, working class farmers. So what he found a way to do was he found a way to, I don't know, sell freaking blueberries or something. And he was able to save about $160,000 a year on his property in Rumson, New Jersey, one of the most expensive towns in America, where the jackass King Philip the Unaccountable, his royal rugness, lives. John Bon Jovi did the same thing. He had honeybees. But here's the thing. Those guys all supported Democrats who want to raise taxes on people and supported Democrats who doubled down on trade deals that would cause people to lose their jobs. If you remember 2016, who played in Philadelphia at Independence Park? You remember? Bruce Springsteen and Bon Jovi did a concert for Hillary Clinton the night before the election. And I remember this because Dawn and I were walking out. Back then, the show was 3 to 6, not this hideous 3 to 7 schedule that they put me on now. Dawn and I were walking out and we walked past our studio back then was at 4th and Market. So right at the heart of Independence Hall, right at the heart of Old City. And we looked at the line of people and the faces, the sea of faces were all white people. But they were not white working class people. They were all the hipsters. All hipsters, as far as the eye could see. And I didn't see a single black person there in that entire crowd. And Dawn turned to me and said, Trump's going to win. I said, I agree. Trump's going to win because these are the people now that the Democrats attract. Robbie Mook, who ran Hillary Clinton's campaign in 2016. I used to mock him, too, all the time because Robbie Mook, first of all, he's a grown man. He goes by Robbie. Ran that campaign out of a loft in Williamsburg, Brooklyn, one of the hippest parts of America. All hipsters there, guys who wear tight jeans. First of all, men should never wear tight jeans or jeggings or whatever the hell they're called. Real men don't do that because your package needs to breathe. But these guys don't really have packages because they're basically they're the most feminine guys you'll ever meet. So they don't have to worry about that. They're the guys that sit there and cross their legs a certain way. And you go, do you not have a manhood? I don't understand how you can do that and get away with that. Those hipsters have no idea what it's like to work for a living. And they have no idea about the working class people. So that campaign in 2016 was all about Trump is mean, says mean things to people, and he's going to cause World War III. That was the entire campaign that Robbie Mook ran out of his little loft in Williamsburg, Brooklyn. I know Williamsburg well because my cousin Mike lives there. And I love my cousin, Mike. He's about as lefty as you come. We agree on nothing politically, but he's my cousin and I love him and I grew up with him. And so, you know, we fight every time we get together and he would take me to the cool places. There's a place there called the Turkey's Nest where you can get a 48 ounce beer in a styrofoam cup for like $5 or something. Those are the places I would hang out with him. But when he would go on dates, he would always take the girls he would date to the hipster places. But you could not get further apart from Youngstown, Ohio, or Wildwood, New Jersey, than Williamsburg, Brooklyn. And this is part of the reason why Hillary Clinton never bothered to campaign in Ohio, Michigan, Wisconsin, Pennsylvania. She didn't care because in their mind, they had the white working class voters. But the white working class voters caught on to a couple things. Number one, they caught on to the fact that if a guy like Bruce Springsteen is going to take advantage of a property tax loophole, and, you know, good for him for taking advantage of that, except for the fact that then he turns around and endorses all these Democrats who want to raise taxes on people. In which case, then you're a gigantic hypocrite. You scream about people paying their fair share and you don't pay your fair share. Bruce Springsteen, fake farmer, the EIEIO band with his blueberries on the side of the road, like, I'm just a regular, I'm a working class man. I understand what it's like to till the fields all day. Give me a break. Same with Bon Jovi, the same thing. Bon Jovi, who sang it. Joe Biden's inauguration, did a terrible rendition of Here Comes the Sun. I mean, painful, painful to listen to. And then woke Howard Stern, who the guys that all support Trump now all think Howard Stern is a sellout and a phony because he gets Joe Biden on his show and earmuffs. kisses his ass the entire time about how, thank you. Thank you, Mr. President, for being America's grandfather and getting us through this. These guys are full of it. Now, let's contrast that with Donald Trump, who's got more money than all three of them put together. And yet, as my buddy Ken Kersen said back in 2015, I remember this too, because we were in the motorcade. And when you're in a motorcade that doesn't have Secret Service protection, and I've been in both with Trump, it's very different than when you're in a motorcade that has Secret Service protection. But I remember this observation that Ken made in 2015. He said, you know, Trump is a populist billionaire. He's a billionaire, and he comes out in these expensive suits and these ties, and he's got this lifestyle and everything, but he identifies with the working class people. And they know that he's real and legit. He's not using them to get to where he is because he doesn't need to get anywhere. He's already there. Whereas, like, Bruce Springsteen played the game of being the singer, the voice of the working man. And Howard Stern made a career out of appealing to guys who were plumbers and cops and electricians and, you know, told jokes about lesbians and had all these other things on, trying to appeal to them. But then the minute they got their success, they didn't need them anymore. So they dropped him like a bad habit. That was it. They were done. You're out. I don't need you anymore. And they started backing politicians who were very happy to see their jobs leave and very happy to see their taxes go up and didn't give a damn about them. Now, one guy did notice as this was happening, and that's James Carville. And James Carville was very, very astute in saying the Democrat Party is becoming the party of the faculty lounge. Look, I mentioned James Carville because he's one of the last. He's not sane. I mean, the guy is crazy as they get, but I mean, crazy in a good way, like crazy, like he's nuts, but he's a good operative and he gets it and he knows how to win. And he said it years ago. He said the Democrat Party has become the party of the faculty lounge and coastal elites. Coastal elites don't go to Wildwood. And coastal elites would not be caught dead in staying in one of the gaudy motels of Wildwood. Coastal elites would not be caught dead at a place like Mulligan Shore Bar. They would not be caught dead at places like Youngstown, Ohio, or Erie, Pennsylvania, those other places. But you see, that's because they think they're better than you. They think they're better than you because they can afford a $17 espresso martini, and they don't want to be around the working class people because they've decided the working class people are a bunch of what? White, rural, racist bigots. Who are all about rage and just hate people because they're gay or they're black or they're trans or they're whatever. And this is the policy they've adopted. This is the mindset they've adopted. So the very same voters that put a black guy in the White House twice, Barack Obama, suddenly became the biggest racist on the planet. And then the coastal elites wanted nothing to do with them. It's just mock them, fly over country and the rest of it, right? Carville's watching all this and goes, wait a second, what's happening here? This party is out of touch. This party's completely out of touch. You are losing working class voters. Trump comes on the stage in 2016 and directly appeals to them, goes to the Rust Belt and says, I'm going to fight to get your jobs back. What did Barack Obama do when he was president? He devastated coal towns. He did exactly what they did to Allentown, Bethlehem back in the day. And people saw their jobs being shut down as the war on coal went full bore under Barack Obama. And then the war on natural gas, the war on oil, all that happened too. Trade deals signed by people like the Clintons and the Bushes and all these other people. So factories shut down, jobs lost, guys now out of work. Trump comes into them and says, I'm your guy. And the Democrats, in their arrogance, figured, these are our people. What are you talking about? No way this guy takes them. The white working class voters go with us. But then Hillary Clinton comes out and calls you what? You're a basket of deplorables. You're racist, sexist, homophobic, you're a bunch of deplorables. I remember that night, too. I remember the night she said that. We were in Utah for Claire's adoption. And like I told you, when you adopt the child, you have to stay in the state for 2 weeks or so. So I did the first 2 weeks of the show. I'm not the first 2 weeks of the show, but I did the first 2 weeks of Claire's life from a condo in Utah where she was born. And I remember interviewing Ivanka Trump I did the show from a closet, actually. It's a big walk-in closet. And I had Claire and I was giving her a bottle because I couldn't breastfeed at the time. I was not a pregnant person, you see, and if you're not a pregnant person, you can't lactate. Did you know that?
Thank you for the information.
You're welcome. So since I was not a pregnant person and my wife was not a pregnant person either, we couldn't lactate. So we had to use bottles. And this is what, you know, adoptive families have to go through. but I was giving her a bottle at the time, talking to Ivanka Trump on the phone. And I remember I got done with the show that night. I'm down in the kitchen and there's this, I look out the window, there's this giant thing going on and these people are having a concert and I could hear the concert. And the guy starts mocking Hillary Clinton for calling everybody deplorables. And I remember that night thinking to myself, did she really say that about all these people? Like, did she call all these people deplorables, basket of deplorables? And Democrats then adopted the strategy of just mocking you, insulting you. You're an idiot. Think about yourself in your own day-to-day life when somebody comes at you on Twitter, like somebody did to me yesterday. Insults my intelligence. I don't read. True. I don't do show prep. Okay, fair. I'm not educated. All right, you got me there. I'm not smart. Fine. All right. It's the same attacks, right? Same thing all the time. What they say about me is what they say about you. It's what they say about all the working class people. Trump taps in to the very same people that used to think Bruce Springsteen was their guy and Howard Stern was their entertainment. And now they're on. They get it now. They see phonies coming a mile away. They see phonies like Mitt Romney coming a mile away. They see phonies come. And now, all of a sudden, but something else happened, too, which is that black working voters also turned around and said, you know, not only are you not doing anything for the white working class, you're not doing anything for me either. Latino working voters turned around and said, yeah, I'm joining in that club, too. You didn't do a damn thing for me either while we're at it. Democrat Party's so out of touch now. And this is what happens when you have a party built on arrogance, a party that is so elite. And then the people that start running it are more concerned about impressing people, like impressing people with things like making sure that the Chablis is chilled on the main line and not really wondering about the price of the roller coaster on the boardwalk at Wildwood. See, the images of Trump on the beach with the Wildwood boardwalk in the background, it doesn't get more Americana nostalgia than that. It doesn't. And I've met people before who wouldn't be caught dead in a boardwalk. See, for me, I can't imagine a summer not going on the boardwalk. I can't imagine it. I can't. In my life, if I don't give my kids the boardwalk experience at the Jersey Shore, I've failed as a parent. I have failed my duty as a parent. Because that's something that every kid needs to experience. You got to experience the grit. You got to experience the carnival aspect of it. You got to experience the kind of, I don't know, Wild West honky-tonk aspect of the Wildwood Boardwalk. And if you don't expose your kids to that, they're missing out on things. But you know as well as I do, there's parents who wouldn't be caught dead going on that boardwalk. Oh, it's mucky and dirty and rides and COVID. And you might get COVID and they don't allow masks. And see, what Selena's point is in this, and it's a great piece, is that Trump masters this notion of nostalgia. And it's not nostalgia for a time when as much as the media will try to spin there going, oh, you mean like when white people were in charge? No. When white working class people were not forgotten, when they weren't ignored, when they weren't mocked, when they weren't belittled, when they weren't accused of being racist and having white rural rage. That lunatic professor from the University of Maryland, who thank God I never had as a professor, who wrote that book, White Rural Rage, who completely distorted all the facts from the study. There is no white rural rage. There's people who are ticked off, but it's not rural rage. It's not rage. They're not raging because they're about all the things that the Democrat Party assumes they're raging about. They're not raging because they're deplorables. They're raging because they've watched their towns be decimated. They've lost jobs. They've seen this happen. Trump directly taps into that. He's a populist billionaire, but he's a populist first and foremost. So then you get into what populism means. So let me evoke the vampiric one. Let me bring in the vampiric one for this part of the segment here. This is now at an Oxford Union debate. Winston Marshall, the famous banjoist and lead guitar for the band Mumford & Sons, who they tried to cancel at one point, participating in the Oxford Union debate, and talks about how populism has become a word synonymously with racist, bigot, and hillbilly, and elites use it to show their contempt for ordinary people. He's exactly right about that. Cut 13.
Populism has become a word used synonymously with racists. We've heard ethno-nationalists, with bigot, with hillbilly, redneck, with deplorables. Elites use it to show their contempt for ordinary people. This is a recent change. Not long ago, Barack Obama, while still president at the North America's Leaders Summit in June 2016, he took umbrage with the notion that Trump be called a populist. How could Trump be called a populist? He doesn't care about working people. If anything, Obama argued, he was the populist. If anything, Obama argued, Bernie was the populist. It was Bernie who'd spent five decades fighting for working people. But Trump. Something curious happens. If you watch Obama's speeches after that point, more and more recently, he uses the word populist interchangeably with strongman, with authoritarian. The word changes meaning. It becomes a negative, a pejorative, a slur. To me, populism is not a dirty word. Since the 2008 crash, and specifically the trillion-dollar Wall Street bailout, we are in the populist age. And for good reason, the elites have failed. Let me address some common fallacies, some of which have been made tonight. If the motion was that demagoguery was a threat to democracy, I would be on that side of the House. If the motion was that political violence was a threat to democracy, I'd be on that side of the House. January 6th has been mentioned. A dark day for America, indeed. And I'm sure Congresswoman Pelosi will agree that the entire month of June 2020, when the federal courthouse in Portland, Oregon, was under siege and under insurrection by radical progressives, those two were dark days for America.
It's not. There is no equivalence of it. So that, yes.
So you don't agree. And it's fine. You don't agree. That's fine.
But it is not like what happened on January 6th, which was an insurrection incited by the president of the United States.
Okay, so the fangs come out, not the same thing, and she wants to rip his neck off and literally drink the blood out of his neck. But you see, this is the point. You had people on January 6th who were angry and fired up. You had people in the summer of 2020 who were angry and fired up, and we were told that was acceptable, it was okay. When people in 2021 got angry and fired up, we were told that was an insurrection and they're horrible people and they're threats, they're domestic terrorists, or domestic violent extremists. That double standard right there is also part of the reason why people find that all of the attacks against Trump over January 6th are complete and utter bull-ass. Complete and utter bull-ass. Now, there's more to this, which I'll share with you upon my return. But by the way, you know, when we take the kids to the boardwalk, we'll be staying at my happy place, the Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey. They are a sponsor of this happy hour. Brought to you by the Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey, my happy place. We'll be there live June 21st for our next live show. Henry's going to eat cheese balls. We're excited. I want to see you there. And thanks to the Grand Hotel for sponsoring our happy hour. Also want to thank my buddy, Dr. Mike Veneria, for being an outstanding dentist and an outstanding friend. And I want to tell you about him because he is the master of implant dentistry. He is the guy who will give you the great smile you deserve. And we are approaching now what is known as special occasion season. That's the time where you're going to be in all kinds of pictures. Graduations, showers, weddings. And if you're getting ready for a special event, please don't forget your smile. It's going to be in all the pictures. So get your smile special occasion ready by making an appointment with Dr. Mike today. I've been telling you about Dr. Mike for years. My entire family goes to Dr. Veneria because the level of care and commitment to dental excellence what Dr. Mike and his staff delivers to each and every patient is simply unmatched. He's been delivering results that surpass expectations, and that has made him a top dentist in New Jersey for 10 consecutive years. So if you've been on the fence about getting that dental procedure done, give Dr. Veneria a call. I promise you will not be disappointed. With two locations to serve you in Cinnaminson and Woodbury, Schedule your free implant consultation today for your perfect smile. Call 856-786-2020. 856-786-2020 or visit VeneriaDental.com. VeneriaDental.com. Dr. Mike Veneria.
Oh, such a clutch offseason pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the Markable Fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
The Zioli Show on your schedule from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT in the free Odyssey app.
What a dumb statement. I mean, it's a nice compliment, but it's dumb. Secret Squirrel said, in my opinion, Rich is a whole lot more talented in studio compared to the Grand Hotel. Those live shows at the Grand Hotel are a blast. I mean, I hate to say it's a stupid comment, but I mean, it's a nice comment. It's a compliment, but it's a totally different environment. It's like saying you're more talented. I mean, it's just, it's a different, you're doing a live show in front of hundreds of people. It's a different animal, you know?
Yeah, we usually have different ambitions for those shows than a typical, I don't know, Tuesday show.
Yeah, it's completely different. It's like somebody saying, but he also commented on the fact that he said I needed an undershirt under my. So what, at the top, we're not liking the top button here? Let me just try to, for the YouTube audience. I was rocking the top button. Is it too much chest, or is like the Italian and need like a nice big chain?
That was definitely too much chest.
I have no hair for an Italian. I have no chest hair whatsoever.
I don't want to see it either way.
That's fair.
I'm against losing another button.
Yeah, only the top button will do.
So keep this button buttoned, you're saying?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's my vote.
All right, fine.
Unless you got like a nice piece on your chest. Yeah, show off. Yeah, keep
Secret
that button.
Squirrel said, I said what I said, deal with it. I take it back. It was, that was being mean. You deal with it. What did you want me to mention, the NGO article? What did you find fascinating about that?
Oh, the NG. Well, you're not going to have enough time for it here, but I just thought it was, yeah, maybe save it for later today or tomorrow.
All right.
But there was a big piece in the Free Press about nonprofits making billions at the southern border. And some of the money, some of the taxpayer money is going towards some very stupid things, unsurprisingly.
Such as the one you mentioned just now was the dance, stupidest.
Yeah, it was a dance therapy director who was making $500,000 a year. Taxpayer money.
Say that one more time.
It was a dance therapy director or instructor, I believe.
dance therapy.
Yeah, to help migrant children.
To help migrant children making $500,000 a year?
Yes.
I'll do that. I'll do it for $450,000.
Can you dance?
Sure, I could dance. I'll do the white man's overbite for $450,000 to save the government $50,000. Boom. Done. And I'll do, and I'll open up my shirt, and I'll incorporate like a drag thing into it too, and just kind of let it all hang out there, you know?
I'll start a GoFundMe for $450,000 for you to button that shirt back up.
I got to be honest with you, this YouTube chat, are you people even listening to the show, or are you just chit-chatting with each other? It's what I want to understand.
They're doing a lot of chatting.
Like chit-chatting. Are you paying attention to anything I said, or what?
Minnie said, we're harassing Rich into doing a strip tease. Nobody wants that.
Yes. Nobody wants that. Exactly right. Nobody wants that.
You're the one who's appeasing them.
I know, it's true. Diane says on Twitter, best memory of Wildwood Boardwalk, running down it as a teenager to get home before curfew. Oh, yeah, good point. Good point. That's always fun, too. My favorite memory was when I was a kid, they had these superhero action figures. They were like this big, Superman, Batman, Spider-Man. And I think my dad spent $700 trying to win them for me. And he was trying to just buy it, like, can I just give you money to buy them? But I wound up getting all of them. Superman, Batman, I think Spider-Man, the Hulk. I think I had all of them when I was a kid.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I forget the game, though. But whatever it was, I was determined to spend my dad's money to win those things.
Do you at least still have them somewhere?
No, I wish I did. I wish I did. It would be worth a lot of money now. But you know who's a geek like that who has all that stuff? Greg Stocker in his basement. I mean, there's other things he has in his basement, too, that are quite terrifying. But he has a lot of toys from the 80s, like the package toys, the stuff that's worth it. Star Wars figures and whatnot, you know?
He never even opened them?
No.
What a weird child.
Well, he's trying. I mean, he's saving him for money. Because if you try to sell some of that stuff now, you make a good buck on that.
Yeah, probably, especially right? If it's in the original packaging.
Yeah. I'm sure the prizes were as tall as Rich. What is this, Bust My Chops Day? Huh? Okay, I'm going to open another button. You people keep
taking shots.
I'm going to open another button. Let's continue with Winston Marshall at the Oxford Union debate. Just as a spoiler alert, Matt DeSantis, does Nancy Pelosi wind up ripping his neck off and drinking his blood?
It gets kind of close, actually. She does get pretty heated in some of these clips.
His point is exactly right, though, and the point is this. It's that white rural rage is BS. The very same people that you used to mock, that you're mocking now, voted for the black guy who ran for president. So how can these things be true? And the Oxford Union debate is an interesting forum here, but then he accuses Representative Nancy Pelosi, the vampiric one. She's, you know how they always say D and they put with a person's town, so it'd be like D San Francisco?
Yeah.
D Romania. D Transylvania. Of referring to the presidential election as hijacked and refusing to accept the results. And then, of course, she says that the election was stolen, cut 14.
What about big tech? Throughout the pandemic, Biden's team, the FBI, and the Department of Homeland Security colluded with big tech in censoring dissenting voices, not kooky conspiracy theorists. People like Dr. Jay Bhattacharya, the Stanford epidemiologist. People like Harvard scientist Martin Kulldorff. People spreading true information, not misinformation, true information at odds with the government narrative. Need I remind you, democracy without free speech is not democracy. This was a direct breach, by the way, of the First Amendment. Before COVID, intelligence services colluded with big tech to have Trump suspended off Twitter. Yes, the same platform which hosted the Taliban and Ayatollah Deaf to Israel Khomeini. They thought the president crossed the line when he tweeted on Jan 6th, quote, remain peaceful, no violence, respect the law and our great men and women in blue. That's a quote. You may be thinking now that Trump is a populist. You are right. He didn't accept the 2020 elections and he should have. So should Hillary in 2016, so should Brussels, and so should Westminster in 2016, and so too should Congresswoman
Pelosi, instead of saying the 2016 election was, quote, hijacked.
It was.
Thank you.
See, it was. See, Democrats are allowed to deny election results. If you deny the results of the 2020 election, then you are indicted for it. But what is Alvin Bragg doing in New York? Alvin Bragg is the biggest election denier out there. Alvin Bragg is saying that if you knew about the Stormy Daniels allegations, if you knew about the Kara McDougal allegations, you would have not voted for Trump. Now, I'm going to tell you something right now. The very same white working class people that we're talking about and take their kids to the boardwalk in Wildwood, or the ones in Youngstown, Ohio, or Erie, Pennsylvania, or any of these other places, had they heard those rumors about Donald Trump, they would have thought to themselves, good for him. Guy's a billionaire, and what the hell's the point of hanging out with all these beautiful women all these years? He's been divorced three times. I'm about as shocked to find that out as I would be that, you know, that I got to keep playing these games over and over again to win a prize. What do you expect? And you think those same white working class people at that point, are they going to turn around and vote for Hillary Clinton, who just called them deplorables and insulted them? So Alvin Bragg is the biggest election denier on earth. Nancy Pelosi bragging about the fact that she does not accept the 2016 election results. There's a montage of Hillary Clinton blaming, I think, 75 different people for why she lost. At no point does she blame her campaign. At no point does she blame the fact that her little snobby, little elite Brooklyn snob hipster who wears tight jeans and his jeggings, that guy had no desire for the campaign to actually reach out to working class voters in Michigan, Ohio, Pennsylvania, because they don't like them. They don't like you. They don't like you. It'd be like this. It'd be like if a buddy of yours, I remember back in the day, the whole thing was, can you drink a beer with this guy? That was the whole thing, right? So in the 1992 election, Bill Clinton was the guy you drink a beer with. And it was like, well, you know, he sleeps around, and, you know, these chicks and everything like this. But, you know, he's like every man. He's like every guy. That was what Carville and Stephanopoulos tried to pull off with everybody. Now the Democrat Party wouldn't be caught dead having a beer with you. They would not be caught dead having, say, like a pounder. You know what a pounder is? A pounder is a 16-ounce can of Pabst Blue Ribbon. They wouldn't be caught dead drinking a pounder with you at a dive bar. No way. Those snobs in the Hamptons and the Main Line and the elites, they would never do that. You see, Trump doesn't drink beer, but he hangs out with the people that do. And the people that do vote for him. That's why when Bud Light decided to use a dude named Dylan Mulvaney to be their spokeswoman, people said, I'm not drinking your beer anymore because you are insulting my intelligence and you're mocking me and you're belittling me. And then the podcast comes out with that woman from Anheuser-Busch who says, we got to get away from the white fratty image that we have and all these other things. But yes, good point, Matt DeSantis. And what's the point you want to make?
Oh, that they will, however, give beer to alcoholic homeless in San Fran.
No, you're wrong. It's vodka. They're giving vodka.
And beer.
Oh, beer too?
Yeah.
Okay.
$5 million a year is what San Francisco is spending on the program.
Uh-huh.
You just show up if you're homeless and they give you a shot of vodka or a beer.
By the way, don't apologize to Secret Squirrel. He gets what he gets. He deserved it, by the way. It was rude. You'll get free vodka and beer if you're homeless in San Francisco.
Yeah, and you claim that you're suffering from withdrawal symptoms.
I'm suffering from withdrawal right now. I haven't had a drink. I've got my 12-hour sober chip. I'm ready to turn in any minute now. It's been a long day. Been on the air since 12 o'clock. And I got to deal with Secret Squirrel and his fashion tips. See what I got to deal with right now? Thinks he's my program director, critiquing the show. Live shows versus studio shows.
Every time I read a new comment, it's just another insult from him.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm going to ban him from this freaking YouTube chat.
I think some of his stuff is funny.
Yeah, of course you would. You take his side. You probably are him. You're probably in
That's
there.
That's not me. I'm not that clever.
Probably your identity. Undermining me. You and Secret Squirrel together. Now, here's Pelosi ripping populism and nationalism as threats to democracy. Now, again, this is what the Democrat elites don't understand, is that if you keep insulting people, if you keep mocking people, if you keep calling us domestic terrorists, domestic violent extremists, and spying on us and doing all these things, people are going to turn around and say, we don't want you. And this is, you would think these people would learn their lesson from 2016. They don't. They double down. They double down on this. They double down on the hatred for you. The hatred for you as being a racist, hillbilly, MAGA extremist with your Cabela fishing hat and you moms in your yoga pants who dare to say at school board meetings you don't want your kid to have the COVID vaccine. Cut 12.
The fact is that using ethno, whether it's people different from me, nationalism.
You're not stopping for a second. She can't even speak because the tongue comes up against the fangs. Do you notice that? She can barely get a freaking word out. And speaking of vodka, I guarantee you she's wasted right now. Guarantee it.
It was interesting that at the end of this debate, I've seen people comment about this on social media. Paul Pelosi, who was also in attendance, applauded the other side.
Did he really?
Yeah.
Well, he doesn't want to get hit with a hammer again. That's why.
All right. Do you want the rest of Nancy?
Yes, please. Go ahead.
Populism is a very dangerous threat to democracy, not just in America, where we're seeing it play out, but in the whole world, in the context of a fight between democracy and autocracy. But the version of populism, ethno-nationalist populism, which tries to bring down education and fake news, the media, which is a protector of democracy.
Oh!
That version is contributing in countries other than our country, and is a danger to democracy. We think democracy isn't a ballot in America. It's a victory that we must win, because it will only make matters worse if they have another stay at what they're doing to the courts in our country, the fear that they're instilling.
Let's stop for a quick second. She says that journalism is a protection for our democracy. With that, let me turn to the unbiased journalist, George Stephanopoulos. Show you how full of crap these people are. This is the guy who ran Bill Clinton's campaign. This is the guy who, along with James Carville, paid money, hush money to women who wouldn't talk about Governor Clinton's affairs with them. And this is the big story of the hour, brought to you by our buddy, Dr. Mike Vanaria, VanariaDental.com. Go see him today for your perfect smile. VanariaDental, VanariaDental.com. Here's Stephanopoulos talking about now of the deep state. The deep state. This is what I mean. You want to talk about journalism being the defenders of democracy? We have talked about how the deep state spies on you, tries to manipulate you, tries to censor you, and also tried to overthrow a presidential election. Not once, but twice. And is trying to do it again, by the way. And here's this guy pretending to be an unbiased journalist, even though he spent his entire career in Democrat politics. Yet I'm supposed to believe these people are the gatekeepers to our democracy. We're supposed to believe that. We're supposed to be dumb enough to believe that this guy could be an unbiased journalist. Take a listen.
That was my favorite part about doing the book. Mm-hmm. I interviewed about 100 duty officers from the White House. And these are people that come, they're relatively young people who come from all over the government, the CIA, the DIA, Defense Department, military. And, you know, some people like to call those people the deep state.
Deep state.
Well, the big thing I learned doing this book is that the deep state is packed with patriots, people who go to work every single day on the front lines of the most intense crises the country faces and do it to serve their country and to serve the presidency, not the president. They don't care about political parties. They're there to serve the presidency and the institution.
And they're doing it anonymously.
Absolutely. Exactly. As one of them told me, Mike Seeley said, you know, we serve in silence.
Yeah, we serve in silence. So you see, what they do is, again, they do the little trick of, the CIA, the FBI, the NSA, the Department of Defense, all these people, these are brave patriots, you understand. These are the people that keep us safe. And for Trump to go out there and deride these people, these are the people that colluded to silence you and shut you down and to overthrow his presidency and to stop him from being elected president in the first place. And then they tried to undermine his presidency for 4 years. Then they lied about the Hunter Biden laptop and covered that up. And we're supposed to believe from this guy, an unbiased journalist, that these are all just hardworking patriots. In no way, shape or form are they out there to try to control the political narrative of the day. In no way, shape or form do we live in a police state where the national law enforcement apparatus actually does try to affect political outcomes, which is the very definition of a police state. The reason why we call BS on these people is because they are part of it. It's the very same people like Clapper and Brennan who leave the CIA and the DIA and all these other things and get jobs with ABC News and MSNBC and come on and say the same things. These are the people that try to control you. And they call you a terrorist because you have a Cabela's fishing hat on and you have guns and you've got bullets. And any minute now, you're going to lead an insurrection. And you're a racist and a white nationalist and a supremacist. And then we're supposed to believe that the journalists like him, this guy, yeah, they're the gatekeepers of democracy. They're the gatekeepers of democracy keeping us safe. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? And just as a flashback to you, can I do this now or do I have to take a break? Can I wait on Cherry Hill Volvo? Can I do that next, Henry?
Sure.
I'll do that next. Just to remind you, this is now this week, 9 years ago this week, is when ABC News covered up for the unbiased journalist George Stephanopoulos, who gave money to the Clinton Foundation and went after an author who wrote a book that was critical of Hillary Clinton. Yet again, we're supposed to believe the journalists are the ones who are protecting democracy. Take a listen.
Now I want to address some news you may have seen about me. Over the last several years, I've made substantial donations to dozens of charities, including the Clinton Global Foundation. Those donations were a matter of public record, but I should have made additional disclosures on air when we covered the foundation. And I now believe that directing personal donations to that foundation was a mistake, even though I made them strictly to support work done to stop the spread of AIDS, help children, and protect the environment in poor countries.
Oh, would you stop? You're so full of crap. I can't even listen to this guy with his nonsense. Of course, to be fair, the unbiased journalist George Stephanopoulos is no relation to the George Stephanopoulos from the Clinton campaign. We know what happened to him. Secret Squirrel killed him when he raged and criticized his dressing techniques, and they had a fist fight, and Secret Squirrel murdered him. Did you know that? Secret Squirrel's wanted for murder, for killing George Stephanopoulos. So this guy's a completely unbiased journalist. No relation whatsoever. None. All right, we have our fourth and final hour straight ahead. Thank you for watching on YouTube. This concludes our YouTube presentation. And thank you for watching. More to come straight ahead.
Rich Zeoli, weekday afternoons, 3 to 7. Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and on the free Odyssey app.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
You fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.